The Senate plans to vote tomorrow on a House proposal to bring a state income tax to Alaska. Senate majority leaders oppose the tax, and it will likely go down to defeat. But this isn't the first time the state has debated this tax, and it may not be the last. Alaska Public Media and KTOO's Andrew Kitchenman reports.
Alaska's government spending far outpaced the tax dollars coming in. The governor proposed an income tax to help close the gap, and lawmakers resisted. This scenario played out last year, but it also happened 70 years ago.
With the Second World War, Alaska had a massive increase in population, large construction projects. None of that economic activity was returned in revenue to the territorial government.
Terrence Cole is a University of Alaska historian who studied the history of the income tax in Alaska. Federal spending in Alaska fell after the war, and the salmon industry and alcohol taxes Alaska relied on weren't enough to cover the demand for services. In January 1947, Governor Ernest Greening said Alaska should start an income tax. He said, "Individuals and businesses deriving substantial livelihoods from the territory pay nothing at all. This is not as it should be." The legislature resisted. It refused to pass the tax. When it met again 2 years later, Alaska was essentially bankrupt, and the Fed said they wouldn't subsidize government services.
By 1949, there was no choice but to put the income tax in, and even then, it was a struggle.
Cole says the tax had another major benefit. In addition to balancing the budget, it helped pave the way for Alaska becoming a state.
It demonstrated to the federal government that Alaska was mature enough to become a state, that they would support themselves. Because frankly, that had been the big part of the argument against statehood.
For the next three decades, the tax continued.
It was like the wind in Juneau, you know. You may not like it, but it's there.
But in 1979, a hostage crisis in Iran caused oil prices to soar. The state had more than enough money to pay for government, and Libertarian Representative Dick Randolph led an effort to repeal the income tax.
My attitude always has been and is that the government should tax when it needs money, but if it doesn't need money, it shouldn't tax.
The income tax was abolished in 1981. Every time state revenue has fallen since then, oil prices picked up within a few years. This has killed talk of the income tax's return. Independent Governor Bill Walker proposed an income tax last year as part of a package of taxes that the legislature did not enact. The mostly Democratic House majority passed an income tax this year, calling it an education tax. While they say the tax would be designated to fund schools, the state constitution bars the state from dedicating funds for specific purposes. Randolph remains opposed to the tax. He wants deeper spending cuts.
Since oil, we've never had a revenue problem. What we have had is a huge, irresponsible spending problem.
While Randolph is hopeful that the Senate will defeat the income tax, he isn't happy with the Senate's vote in favor of reducing permanent fund dividends. Cole is concerned that the legislature will continue to cut dividends further and dip deeper into permanent fund earnings without an income tax. He says a benefit of having the income tax is that residents have a direct stake in how tax dollars are spent.
We've put ourselves back in the situation we were pre-1949, where everyone wants somebody else to pay the freight, and they don't want to contribute anything out of their own pocket.
The Senate majority says it supports $750 million in spending cuts over the next 3 years. But if those cuts don't materialize, observers like Cole say the income tax proposal will return. In Juneau, I'm Andrew Kitchenman.